What is up, you 1936 first-round draft picks of the Pittsburgh Steelers? Welcome to No Holds Barred, the Shakespeare podcast Shakespeare would have listened to. I'm Dan Bollier.
And I'm Kevin Condardo. We are back with our first wild card episode of August. The wild card, as you all know, is where we try to be better than nothing or but so-so. This month, we return to our recurring Shakespeare High program, where we take the characters from Shakespeare's plays and assign them to various extracurricular activities at the
prestigious
Shakespeare High. And this week, we are going to be, in the spirit of fantasy football draft season being here, we will be drafting our own Shakespeare fantasy football teams.
So we're drafting two different teams here. I'll draft my own team and you're drafting your own team, Kev, correct? Out of characters who are not in the drama show, not playing baseball and not playing hockey for Shakespeare High already.
That's correct. So if you hear, if you're like, how did so-and-so not get drafted? They're probably already busy. So save your angry emails.
Right. And we'll be observing the Liam Billingham rule, which means if once one play is taken, all the rest of the plays, that play is off the board.
Yes.
Sweet. So two fantasy football teams from Shakespeare High. Here we go.
So before we dig in, we'll talk a little bit, for those of you who are, for our Shakespeare fans who don't really know much about fantasy football, Dan, do you want to explain the difference between fantasy football and proper football?
Proper football?
This is American football, of course.
Well, of course. So The Office, the cooler talk in the next 2 weeks will most likely be about fantasy football before the regular season gets underway. So our goal here is to prepare you for that sort of conversation. The format of a fantasy football team that we are observing is a one quarterback, two running backs, a tight end, two wide receivers, a flex position, a defense and special teams, and then a kicker. We will get into what all of those mean as we go through all of our picks. Mm-hmm. But basically, you're picking one player from each team or each play. Your own fantasy team is very individual. It's not like, oh, I have the Patriots. Or I have the Steelers. You have your own very unique team, which is what we're building towards. So we each have different... I know, Kevin, you and I have done fantasy leagues together now for over a decade.
Yes.
So we have different preferences.
Over. Yes.
Right. We have different things that we look for, mm-hmm. Which would be nice to explain on this pod.
Mm-hmm.
But for the Shakespeare lovers who don't know fantasy football, this is a chance for us to brace you for all of those cooler talks and have something fun to contribute.
Mm-hmm. And just before we get in, and also because Dan and I are both prone to shortcuts, quick definition before we get too deep, a defense, the exception to not picking a team is that for the slot of defense / special teams, you do pick a team. So basically, instead of choosing individual defensive players, you pick a whole team, or in our case, we'll be choosing an entire play to encompass the defensive unit. And then the flex position is just an individual who is not a quarterback.
Right. And that can be, well, it can't be a kicker.
It
has to be a wide receiver or a tight end or a running back.
Correct.
And that is flexible depending on who is running the team.
Mm-hmm.
For certain people like Kevin who overvalue wide receivers, it's probably going to be a wide receiver. Whereas myself, I like to go a different
route. It will probably be a Pittsburgh Steeler. Yes.
That's right.
So, now that we've gotten all the fine print out of the way, let's give this thing a whirl.
These are always exciting.
Yeah, so we're going to take 90 seconds each, and in that 90 seconds, we'll make our pick and talk about why we're so great and so smart. So, before the show, I won the coin flip. So, first pick. So, when you're drafting a fantasy team, a misconception in fantasy football, you assume that the quarterback is going to be the highest scoring player.
You do?
In most cases, it's not. In most cases, your highest scoring player is going to either be a running back or a wide receiver because there's the biggest disparity in those positions.
Correct.
Whereas a lot of quarterbacks, you know, your best quarterbacks, your Tom Brady's of the world, are going to end up scoring the same amount of points as your middle of the road, you know, Eli Mannings, Peyton Mannings, etc. retired Peyton Manning, but it's still one last shot to take it, one last chance to take a shot at him in his horse face.
And we're not throwing away our shot.
No, to pick it, fantasy to go unit. After. I mean, if we say Peyton Manning's name three times, he's going to come on here and do an ad for like Casper or something.
If it was a Papa John's ad, I'd take it. I want that pepperoncini and that garlic sauce right now.
You're not drunk enough to want that. So anyways.
That's what you think.
So I'm going to go with a running back.
Nice.
The running backs are going to be getting a lot of points. And I've also just watched an O.J. Simpson documentary this afternoon.
Okay.
And so O.J. Simpson, of course, one of the finest running backs of all time before he got into some late career antics.
And that was when he sold the memorabilia, right? That's what you're referring
to? Some stuff happened in the middle, but yeah, sure. So in his vein, I'm going to take Othello as the first overall pick. Othello, huh? Great athlete, great champion. Some domestic issues, so he'll fit right in the modern NFL, and he's going to rack up a bazillion points for me in the Shakespeare Fantasy Football League, so I will take Othello, running back, as the number one overall pick.
Very nice. I agree, Kev, I do agree that while the normal football team is built around your quarterback, that is generally your franchise player, with fantasy football, what is the phrase, the legs feed the machine?
The legs feed the wolf is what they say in the movie Miracle, starring Kirk Douglas.
Of course, it's a hockey movie.
Well, I don't know what I don't know what idiom you're quoting.
Well, I'm quoting my own. The legs feed the machine. That's a that's a new quote from your
what
friends.
What kind of a machine is that?
A fantasy football championship machine, and okay. I've run that machine for several years, but we won't get into that quite yet. But I do agree that running backs are the way to go with a first overall pick, and especially with one off the board already. There's going to be a run on running backs. So I will take a running back. For me, with an RB1, which of course stands for running back one for the Shakespeare nerds out there, you want someone who is explosive, preferably someone who's in shape. So someone who's been, I don't know, bossed around by someone and told to do all of their bidding for the past years and years. And someone who is just a monster. I want a monster. So from the Tempest, Caliban will be my running back one. On my fantasy football squad.
Caliban, all right. We don't have Caliban on any of the other teams. Yeah, I guess he didn't. Wow, nice pick.
That's a great pick.
That screws
How
me
How is he available at number two?
Well,
this is going just like the hockey, this is going in my favor already.
All right, well, then I guess we're going to leave on the board. You know, now that I have my running back in place, I was going to take Ariel as my wide receiver as a deep threat off the board because Ariel
board.
Is in the Tempest, which...
That's how this works, Liam.
...really sticks in my craw. but I guess now that I have my running back in place, one of the other things that makes fantasy drafts interesting is you look at what the loss, what the opportunity cost of taking a pick is. So for example, I have a quarterback that I'm going to take with my next pick, despite what I just said to you listening at home, because I have a really good first quarterback and then I don't have any, but like if he goes, I have nobody else good behind him.
Yep.
Whereas I have several running backs who are at about the same level. I have several wide receivers who are at a significantly lower level altogether. So I'm going to grab this quarterback because he's probably not going to be there next. I'm guessing I'm going to snipe this from Dan. It's also a character that we've intentionally gone undrafted in the hockey and baseball podcasts because we knew he was a quarterback. He's a leader of men. He is Henry V from Henry V. And he is going to be the quarterback on my squad, Henry V.
Yeah, that's a good pick. That's someone that's so in fantasy for the fantasy drafters out there. Sometimes you just know this is going to happen. So as soon as I lost the coin flip, I was like, "Oh, I lost Henry V." It's the same way that when I lost the coin flip for hockey, I was like, "Oh, there goes Puck."
Mm-hmm.
I could have reached and taken Henry V with my first overall pick, but in general, you don't want to three-time champion of the FPSFL, which is, of course, our fantasy league, Kev, named after the Filthy Purse Strings reference in 1776, which is being performed currently at Shakespeare High.
Which gives you full context on the kind of indoor kids that we are if us hosting a Shakespeare podcast didn't give you enough of a look into that.
When you start reaching, especially if you're reaching in round one, you're in tremendous trouble.
To stretch that out, if you had taken... if you had taken Henry V, I was going to take Ariel, so you wouldn't have gotten Caliban.
Oh, great. So you were taking Ariel first overall? Well, you love wide receivers.
I was going to take Othello, then I assumed you were going to take Henry V, and I would have taken Ariel. So my backfield would have been in motion, and it would have had to penalize me.
I see.
So you are on the clock.
Well, this is tremendous. So with my running back one lined up, what I want to do now for myself, reading the draft, I would have taken a quarterback here, but with only two teams in this league, I can wait for my quarterback. I also had three backup quarterbacks in case Henry V went, so I feel safe there. So I'm going to go with what I think is the next most important, which is a wide receiver one. Also knowing that you value wide receivers so much, I figure you're going to go here pretty soon, and you might stay there for like three picks in a row. So I need to get a good one while I can. I want someone who's hungry. I want someone who is fast. I want someone who is deceptive, good with their hands. So from Titus Andronicus, I'll take Aaron Lamore.
Mother.
Yeah.
Damn it.
That's the Calvin Johnson of this league. Just, that's probably who you should have taken first overall, because I know you, and I know how much you like wide receivers.
No, well, I'll tell you why that me off, Dan.
Why?
Because the best defense by far and away, and my next pick was going to be Titus Andronicus as a defensive unit.
You were going to take a defense with your third pick?
I absolutely was.
This is why you don't win in fantasy football.
I would never, ever pick a defense that high in real fantasy football.
This isn't real?
No, it's
this
not.
This is for the millions and millions of our followers.
And millions. No, it's not.
two wrestling references in like 10 seconds.
It's a great pick.
How nerdy can we get?
I think
Aaron Lamore. Also, what I like about Aaron Lamore is I think the wide receiver is the most likely person to be hooking up with a cheerleader. Like, your quarterback's hooking up with a celebrity. Everyone else is, I don't know. I just feel like a wide receiver one is like, hey, cheerleader. I mean, wasn't there a great Kansas? Who plays in the blue field in college?
Boise State.
There was the wide receiver who like caught a touchdown and then proposed to the cheerleader.
Wasn't that the quarterback?
No, it was the guy who caught a touchdown.
Brought
the ball to her and then produced a ring somehow.
If there are any college football fans who are listening to this podcast, you haven't unveiled yourself yet, so here's your opportunity.
Here's your chance. So yeah, Aaron Lamore off the board, wide receiver one for Chaboyz.
So now that I have a quarterback, I have a running back. And despite the fact that I usually do like wide receivers, there aren't any wide receivers that I really like on my board. So I'm going to shore up my running backs here and actually piggybacking on what you were just talking about girlfriends picking up the girl. There's a quote in Moneyball, the book, where the scouts, so don't get mad at me, this is misogynist and it's gross, but if you don't take it up with me, take it up with a scout that was 65 years old in 1984, but they would say that when a player didn't have confidence, they would describe him as saying he had an ugly girlfriend because he didn't have the confidence to go out and get a more attractive girlfriend. So taking that, I'm going to find someone who's a warrior, who's a winner, and also definitely doesn't have an ugly girlfriend. In fact, he went out and got a girlfriend that is like, how about an Amazon? How about when you take an Amazon and you're like, you're with me? And she's like, okay. So I'm going to take Theseus from Midsummer as my RB2. He's going to look real good. He's a winner. He dates an Amazon. I'm excited. Good parties.
Theseus is your running back too?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Why?
I just had a better pick from Midsummer, but now Midsummer's gone.
That's how this works. That's the game.
Damn it. This is why this rule is so great.
Liam.
Really a great rule. Okay. I did not see Theseus getting involved in this. I'm not going to lie.
And there he is.
All right. Well, that helps me understand where I'm going next. And this is, you know, like acting. Acting is about listening. Great. Being a champion in fantasy football is about responding to the draft.
Right.
It's about seeing and hearing what's happening. So I would not go with this pick next. I would not draft a tight end with my third overall pick.
Uh-oh.
But because my tight end was from Midsummer, who was Demetrius, I need to go Demetrius. Yeah. I need to go tight end next. Yeah, because for me, this is coming out of the being a Patriots fan, so for my tight ends, I want someone who is aggressive,
sure,
a beast, potentially serving lifetime in a jail in Florida. or doing like a Playboy cover. Like they're just dicks. Uh-huh. I feel like tight ends, if you're a really good tight end, because you have to like, you're involved in the middle of the game, but you also have to block and like block really, mm-hmm. like you have to be kind of, are we bleeping in this episode?
Oh, I already have several times.
You have to be an to be a tight end. So yep, I was going to go with Demetrius. So now that he's off, I'm going to take Petruchio from Taming of the Shrew as my tight end. He talks about, you know, he's seen a lot. He's a warrior. He's been to war, which is what a warrior is, I guess, unless you play for a Golden State basketball team. Mm-hmm. And I just think that I want someone who is sort of, I think tight ends need to be a little bit unhinged, a little bit insane, mm-hmm. but also someone that just can take control of a game and take control of a team. Mm-hmm. So out of the school of both Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski, Petruchio from Taming of the Shrew will be my third pick and securing my tight end position now that Midsummer Night's Dream is off the board.
Yeah, it's a great pick as long as the defensive secondary is populated exclusively by unmarried women and old men. He'll definitely run it up on them. God forbid there's someone out there who can stand up to him.
Well, knowing your team, they will be, because you were going to pick your defense with the third overall pick. So
well, imagine Petruchio going out for passes with the cast of Titus Andronicus waiting for him. It's like, you're not in Padua anymore, pal.
I like his chances against Lavinia.
I was going to draft her, but she just has no hands.
Oh, wow. and that's the podcast.
Like, in totem. That's it. So I agree with you. Now's the time to pick tight ends. I'm glad that you didn't go with the one that I want. I don't think I want someone who's as much of an but I do want someone who's going to be unflinching, who looks at the odds. Because you're right that the tight end generally isn't a glory position. There's a lot of just getting the beat out of you, and you're looking, you're sprinting upfield, you're looking over your shoulder, you make a catch, a guy takes out your knees while another guy hits you in the head, and then you got to just like get up and toss the ball and go back in.
Right.
So I'm going to take Talbot from Henry the Sixth, Part One, as my tight end.
Oh, that's a good choice.
Talbot in Henry the Sixth, Part One, when the French just keep on coming. He's the one that's like, it doesn't look good, but I'm going to just go defeat all of France by myself.
I got this.
And that's the guy I want running wild through the middle of the secondary. Talbot, H6P1.
That's your team is looking solid here. We have a lot of really, once again, if we look at, so far we have Henry 5, Othello, Theseus, Talbot, Caliban, Petruchio, and Aaron the Moor. Mm-hmm. A lot of really solid, really nice people on these football teams. Kind gents. So, keeping in the vein, I told you before I had several quarterbacks, but three of the four plays are gone already. Mm-hmm. So now is the time to go up and get my quarterback, mm-hmm. I think. Nope. This is the last minute. Always got to trust your gut in drafts.
Uh-oh.
Always have to trust your gut. So I'm actually going to hold off on that. Because I need my wide receiver, too. Because now I'm seeing that you have no wide receivers yet. Mm-hmm. And that means you pretty much have to go there soon. And as we all know, Edgar from King Lear is a wide receiver. Out of the Julian Edelman vein of... He's not been drafted yet. I see you checking your master, your spreadsheet.
Edgar. Sure.
Edgar.
Yes.
I'm looking for someone who is crazy. Who is... I want... This is my wide receiver, too. I have Aaron the Moor, who is... My wide receiver one, who is the Calvin Johnson type wide receiver, wide out, or Antonio Brown type, who's just like, I got this. Now I want like a squirrely, crazy man who's going to go over the middle and just get hospital passed left and right and just come down with it and then just squirrel his way into the end zone. Mm-hmm. So I do think that Edgar has like, sometimes you look at Julian Edelman, and you're like, oh, poor Tom's a cold. Because Tom Brady is cold.
Go get his coat because it's snowing.
Better go get his coat. So yeah, I want another one of those. It's just a fast a gamer. I want someone who's gonna at the end of the day is gonna win. So Julian Edelman is my wide receiver too, also known as Edgar.
There you go,
Julian Edgerman.
Okay, so this is a controversial tactic that I'm about to take there. It's tough.
You're
going to
defer your pick to me?
No, not that controversial. It's tough to think outside of the box in these drafts. There's only
I don't think so.
Well, there. Okay. Well, cool. I was setting up a thing, but I guess not. But like I said before, I usually do like wide receivers, but I just don't like any wide receivers that are available.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at that flex position, and I have a tight end that I think is going to be more valuable than another running back or wide receiver. So I'm going to take a second tight end.
I love two tight ends on the...
Just stop right there. You love two tight ends. So we talked also about... You mentioned Rob Gronkowski as a tight end that you like. So I'm going to go ahead and take Shakespeare's Rob Gronkowski, Claudio, from Much Ado About Nothing.
Yeah. I have him as a tight end. I have him listed as a tight end on my big board.
A big, dumb goof. Kind of the opposite of Talbot, that Talbot's going to have, like, bloody knuckles and, like, a face bar from, like, 1970. And Claudio's going to, like, film a Dunkin' Donuts commercial and then run out and catch three touchdown passes and, like, try to, I don't know, vault the end zone uprights.
Right.
So
doing the figure of a lamb, the feats of a lion.
There you go.
Just hopefully not a Detroit lion.
Yes. excellent.
That's great. Oh, I love it. So now I'm going to get that quarterback I wanted to get last round, hoping it would still be. This was the guy I could have taken in the second round, but I just trusted that he would be there. This is how you win fantasy football, is when you get a pick like this late in the draft. But my QB1, I want someone smart. I want someone who has spent their time doing this, knows he's a tactical leader who is a absolute fearless, wants the ball in the moment. He is like, I want to kill you. Mm-hmm. From Coriolanus, Ophidius will be under center, snapping, winning, leading my team to victory.
It's a good pick.
It's a great pick, honestly.
Especially, I had Ophidius as another one of my... He was definitely on my depth chart, especially because Coriolanus can't play.
Right.
Because Ophidius says, I'm the second best in the world except for you. So as soon as we picked Coriolanus to play hockey, Ophidius was just amped. Just so excited. Oh, yeah. Like, whenever I get picked, I'm going to be number one.
Right. This is the steal of the draft at this point.
I don't know about that.
We'll see how it plays out, because there are sleepers to come, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think right now I'm BDS after that pick.
Not sure.
BDS, of course, is.
Got it. Copy. Cool. Now I gotta go to my wide receivers. I have a quarterback. I have two running backs. I have my tight end and my flex in position. I don't care about defense at this point because I'm just going to take the best defense available at the end.
Right.
And the kicker,
which is pretty traditional for fantasy football.
Mm-hmm. As is the prophecy, the kicker and the defense will be the last two picked, unless you're my Uncle Mike, who always loves to pick a kicker in the eighth round of a 17-round draft. My dad's laughing. My Uncle Mike is not listening. So I'm going to take two wide receivers here.
You get one pick.
I know. Well, not he. Spoiler alert.
You already cheated with the coin flip. You don't get two picks now. Well,
can I trade down for two picks?
I'll trade you up.
No, I'm good. So I'm looking for a, you know, you talked about a squirrely guy, an Edelman, a Welker.
An Edgerman.
I'm going to take the player who's only available because I took his brother by mistake in the hockey episode as a ruse for him to be available here. Gudarius from Cymbeline.
Is that your wide receiver too?
Yes, he is my wide receiver one. Gudarius is the
one. It's a classic fantasy joke for you people listening out there. Just drop that on someone when they pick their first wide receiver. Like, oh, good wide receiver two pick.
Good backup. As long as he doesn't need to start. It's like, well, he's my one. Like, oh, yikes. Gudarius, squirrely, not afraid of another guy who's not afraid to get out there to do like a 7-yard cut route, get crushed by a freaking bear, and then be like, yeah, that was great. Here we go.
Right.
So
Gudarius. He's also a phenomenal hockey player, I hear.
Yeah, he's super upset that he didn't get picked for the team. So he has something to prove. He has a chip on his shoulder, which I like.
God knows we love that as Tom Brady fans. Back up in college.
199.
Sixth. Oh, beautiful. I think my running back two will be there. So while this is not traditional, I will actually take the Uncle Mike system and pick a kicker here.
Oh.
And I'll tell you why. This is the only person in Shakespeare's canon who I believe is actually referred to directly as can kick a football.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Adriana.
Yep.
from the Comedy of Errors.
Absolutely. I had her as my second. Yeah, I had her down here as my second kicker, yeah.
I don't know why you'd pick someone before her, as no one else is referred to as kicking a football. I mean, she's literally, Dromio tells us that she kicks him like a football. So mm-hmm. I think that's probably the best choice available.
We'll see, as long as you don't take my, you know what, I'll take him right now. All right, I'll be goaded into this. So this is,
this is called a run. And for the non-fantasy mm-hmm. football people, this is what we call a run. You will see this happen in your draft or in your colleagues' drafts, where all of a sudden it's like, oh crap, there go all the kickers, and all of a sudden in one round they just all go at once.
Mm-hmm, because you're like, oh shoot, this is my chance.
Panic.
This is also an example of somebody being drunk in the late rounds and making irrational decisions based on being goaded, which Dan and I are both huge fans of. I know some of our listeners out there, Tommy C, for example, big proponents of using machismo. Or, you know, not necessarily required to be a man that you're goading with machismo to make ill-fated bad picks by winding him up. And I've been wound up because I'm so proud of who I found for my kicker. I'm going to take Menelaus from Troilus and Cressida. Why Menelaus, you may ask?
I am asking.
So I went to the text, and in Act 4, easy, Act 4, Scene 5, Line 40, Menelaus says, I'll give you boot. I'll give you 3-for-1.
Oh, that's, I mean, that's a field goal reference.
It is.
That's great.
And so I'll take it. I'll take his boot, and I'll take his 3-for-1, maybe 5-for-1 if the kick is from over 50 yards. So I will take Menelaus to give me boot.
So for those of you out there who are not fantasy footballers, you're like, but wait a minute. I thought a field goal was 3 points. That's real football that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
In fantasy, the points that you get from your kicker are based on the distance of the kick.
Mm-hmm.
So some people might put more value on kickers who kick indoors, for example, because they generally can make longer kicks. They're going to get more of the 4, 5, 6 point kicks than the people who are playing in cold weather from like October on.
Right.
So if you're like, wait a minute, why do you get 5 points for a kick? It's because this is fantasy football.
It's fantasy.
And it's the best.
It's like Tolkien.
Right. So at this point, I'm looking at what we have left to pick. I still don't have a running back too. Mm-hmm. And I really can't pick a kicker and a D before I do that. That is just poor form.
Well, you've already picked a kicker, so poor form on you.
I'm saying I can't pick both. I can pick one of the two, but not both.
My apologies.
So I do think I need to go and address that issue post haste. So what I'm looking for, I have my running back one, who is my monster, quite literally. So now what I'm looking for is what they refer to in football as a touchdown vulture.
Mm-hmm.
This is someone who isn't your starter, but who is the guy that they bring in when it's like first and goal from the half yard line. And all of a sudden, like, Adrian Peterson gets sat, and they bring in some, like, Jarkandrick West comes in.
Right.
Like, nope.
The John
Justin
Kuhn
McKinnon
special.
Comes in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, John Kuhn was a great one. Green Bay Packers. Mike Allstott.
Yeah, the legend in this field.
Right. Just a vulture who just shows up and is like, you know what? This whole thing that's been going on has been awesome, but I'm here now.
Right. He rushes for 5 yards in the game and scores 3 touchdowns.
Right, and ends up as the king. So from Hamlet, I'll take Fortinbras.
Yep.
Just a touchdown vulture. Like, you have an actor who just poured their heart out for like 4 hours and 20 minutes. And then this guy shows up and is like, guess what? I run the show now.
Yeah. I actually had Fortinbras when I thought my plan was to take Othello, Ariel, assuming you would take Henry V as your quarterback. I was going to take Fortinbras in like round 6 as my quarterback.
Oh, interesting.
Because he's a game manager. He plays the game that he's like a Trent Dilfer. He just, or an Eli Manning. He plays the game that comes to him, emotionless, just like executes. Fortinbras executes.
That's it.
Yeah.
He's just there at the right time. And it's like, that's what you need sometimes in a fantasy. He's like, you know what? I got 19 points off of 6 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Fortinbras, RB2.
Definitely a football player, Fortinbras.
Of course.
So I...
Fourth and bra.
nice. I am going to go ahead and take my second wide receiver. I'm going to go... Now we call this reaching at this stage of the draft. This is round, you know, 8 of 9. I'm just picking at the scraps here. I'm going to take Andrew Aguecheek from 12th Night. I don't think he has that much upside, but I have it on good repute that he is a dog at a catch.
He does, but you have that on from his repute.
That's okay. He's a dog at a catch. I'm taking him at his word. I'm going to the text. He's the type of guy that's going to be, he's going to avoid contact. He's going to be so frustrating because he'll dance away. Anytime he has a chance to open it up, he'll just run out of bounds. But you know what? He's going to catch everything that gets thrown at him and then just crumple up. He's going to be Terry Glenn. You know?
Terry Glenn.
Just catch the ball and then fall down so he doesn't get hit. But you know what? Those points still count.
100%.
So I will take Andrew Agueface from 12th Night.
12th Night off the board. At this point, it probably makes sense to just get that D because you're going to go D or kicker next.
You love getting that D.
I do. Hey. So I did. I think that for the D and special teams. So on defense, I want a bunch of fat guys.
Okay.
I want some players who also happen to be out of nowhere, can just make like a great play that you don't see coming.
Uh-huh.
Special teams, I want some fast people.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of cheaty,
mm-hmm.
but you know, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
God bless.
Bill Belichick. So even though Hotspur is already gone because he's playing hockey,
mm-hmm.
technically he's in the play. Mm-hmm. So he's available on special teams.
Absolutely.
If I take Henry IV part one,
mm-hmm.
which I'm about to do.
There you go, Henry
IV. And I'm now doing.
Off the board.
So Henry IV part one is my that way I have, you know, I just put in the Vince Wilfork role, I have Falstaff just right there, mm-hmm. block and clog up that middle.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have all my
pretty chickens.
Hotspurs and Bardolphs,
mm-hmm.
just a ragtag group.
Mm-hmm.
And hot, you know, just beautiful.
Yeah, it's a good squad.
Honestly, it's a great pick.
Yeah, we're all very proud.
I'm glad
you
agree.
All right, so I'm going to pick my defense. Looking at the available teams left, I've been updating. So this is a situation that usually with a kicker or defense, you don't care who you get because for me personally,
that's how you lose, by the way.
I do something called streaming defenses, which is each week. It is you are switching every week when the fantasy when the free agent pool comes out. I just pick the defense that has the best matchup that's available because your defenses flip so often. So basically all I'm looking for is my defense is to not kill me in any particular week because sure. I've spent all of my credits on getting good other players because I think defenses are kind of a crapshoot. So now that I'm looking at what's available, I'm going to take someone. I think that a big part of defense is home field advantage. I want a defense that has some aura about it. It's something that, you know, Green Bay has. You don't want to go into Green Bay. The Patriots have when it's snowing. There's like an aura around playing in New England in the snow. There's, you know, you go into Dallas and there's the Jerry Dome. Unfortunately, the Cowboys also play there. So that kind of wheezes out. In Seattle, you have the 12th man that adds, you know, a little something as long as they're not playing in the Super Bowl about to win. So I'm going to take what I think, probably looking at the remaining plays, the one that has the best home field advantage, and that's going to be Mackers.
Yeah, oh, sure.
I'll take, if you're out, you are not looking forward to coming in to playing Mackers in Dunsinane.
Right.
With the woods all around, Lady Mack is the defensive coordinator holding up the play card over her mouth. Yeah, I'll take that. I like the chances of them forcing some turnovers. They're not afraid to get dirty for sure. Mackers is my defensive unit.
I think it's an incredibly solid pick. I would actually be very, very terrified to go and play there. So,
mm-hmm.
Well done. In my flex is the last role to fill in. So I'm looking at. I have multiple characters here that I'm interested in, but in terms of who's going to give me the most based on the team that I have built, I have some more TD vultures, which I like, but the problem is you really can't double up on those in one team.
Yeah.
You really only get one.
Because there's too much of a risk of them just not scoring any touchdowns.
Right.
You're getting no yardage bonuses.
You can get a combined 4 points very, very easily out of that. So I do like the double tight end move in fantasy. That's been something I've done now for several years. So another tight end I had in my board is someone who is just driven, gamer, scary man, has some qualities that are, I mean, he is playing with a passion in everything he does. From Henry the Sixth, Part Two, I'll take Suffolk.
Yeah, that's good.
Who I believe is going to be a phenomenal ninth pick.
Right?
I'll take that as my last pick. Sure.
You have a lot of guys on your team that I think you may have some... Well, I guess it's fan. I was going to say you're going to have some clubhouse issues.
That's but the beauty for of fantasy. You don't have to worry about matter. That.
That's right. That's... All you care is about them dealing in their individual situations.
Right. Right. Which is a really unique thing, I think. And that's worth noting for those Shakespeare listeners out there who don't know fantasy or like regular football, how that works is... Your team is so unique to you. Mm-hmm. No one, I mean, the chances that someone else has your exact same team are very small. Mm-hmm. I mean, it happens, of course, but it's not like you have to worry about the old, what was the old Yankees, 25 players, 25 cabs?
That was the Red Sox, 25 guys, 25 cabs.
Well, Red Sox are great, so let's call it the Yankees.
Okay.
But anyway, Suffolk is going to be a phenomenal flex.
There you go.
Do it for your lady, Suff.
Right. So then so there we go. That is our draft. You want to run down the squads?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have at quarterback Henry Five. At running back, I have Othello. Running back two, Theseus from Midsummer. Wide receiver, I have Guderius from Cymbeline. Wide receiver, Andrew Aguecheek from Twelfth Night. At flex, I have Claudio playing tight end from Much Ado. At tight end, I have Talbot from Henry the Sixth, Part One. My kicker is Menelaus from Troilus and Cressida, and my defense is Mackers.
And for your boys over here on the varsity squad, quarterback I have Ophidius, running back one Caliban from The Tempest, running back two Fortinbras from Hamlet. My tight end is Petruchio, wide receiver one Aaron the Moor, wide receiver two Julian Edgerman from King Lear. Flex Suffolk from Henry 6-2. My defense is Henry 4, Part 1, and kicker Adriana as the only character in the canon who spurns a football.
So there you go. Dan, anybody slip through the cracks for you that you're particularly proud of?
Well, in our fantasy league, Kev, something that we do that I'm really proud of is we pick a college player.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That we can draft that will be like a keeper, that, you know, someone that we think will be good in the future.
Yep.
So I'm going to spring this on you. Do you have someone?
Yeah. So how are you defining what a college player is?
Actually, you know what? I really can't do this.
Why?
Because the play is already gone.
So here's what I would propose. The equivalent of that is picking a character from one of Shakespeare's contemporary plays.
Oh, wow.
And then you have to sit on them for a year before you can roll them in.
Sure, I got one.
I got one. Who you got?
I will take Tamburlaine.
You... Of course it's Tamburlaine.
Well, I had another one in mind, but I just don't think you have another character.
I'll take Faust then, I guess.
That's a pretty good pick.
You know what? And if you want to trade for him, we can make a Faustian bargain.
I'll trade you Tamburlaine and my soul for Faust.
Well, so Tamburlaine straight up. I'll take it. All right, you got anything else?
No, Fleance was my sleeper in all of this, but Mackers is off the board because of your DST, which I forgot about.
Yeah. I had Florizel from Winter's Tale because I feel like he's country strong. He's one of those guys that played 3 years at Georgia and will just be, like, fine.
Yeah, I thought about Florizel, but I just don't think he's got the goods.
Yeah, he doesn't have he's not a killer. Like, right. He'll be like, fine.
Yeah, I thought the brothers Dumaine were possible.
I had Dumaine on there because they're football, they're unremarkable football players.
Right, Baraccio I had slipping through as someone who is just like awful to people, but also probably can just run the rock.
Right.
I had Romeo. I thought you might take Adriana as your kicker because you're so familiar with that text.
Yep, she was my backup if Troilus and Cressida went, which I was fairly sure it wasn't going.
That was my first choice DST. Was Troilus and Cressida.
Yeah.
Kev.
Yes.
At the top of this pod, I referenced the 1936 first round draft pick of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Uh-huh.
Did that ring any bells for you?
God, no, I was more of a Paul Brown fan back in 1936. Who was the who was their number one pick?
He graduated from Notre Dame in 1935. It's one of the top 100 college football games he was featured in. He was the quarterback of Notre Dame, and his name was William Shakespeare.
Seriously?
Seriously.
So, yep. What do you know what number he wore?
I don't know what number he wore.
Because if we could get a Steelers 1936 throwback Shakespeare jersey,
right?
That'd be pretty solid.
Pretty badass. Mm. His nicknames for college were the Bard of Staten Island, the Bard of South Bend, and the Merchant of Menace.
Oh, the Merchant of Menace is so good!
Isn't that great?
But he was the quarterback?
He was the quarterback for Notre Dame.
He must have been really tough if he was the Merchant of Menace as a quarterback.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Well, he's listed here as actually being a halfback and a punter, but his most famous play was throwing the winning touchdown pass. So I'm wondering if it was like a flea flicker?
Yeah, back then in the 30s, it was just chaos. They did right? everything. They sold popcorn at halftime, too.
That's
William
right.
Shakespeare, the Bard of Staten Island.
Yep.
Good Lord. My name is William Shakespeare.
Yeah, here's a fun fact from our friends at Wikipedia. Newspapers reported that though he claimed to be a direct descendant of the Bard, Shakespeare flunked his sophomore English class.
True Staten Island. There you go.
Oh, it's so great. So yeah, that was, of course, what that reference was to. I know that that's a pretty lowbrow ref, but.
That's amazing, and now I'm on a desperate search to find pictures of this gentleman. So go out, let's find some photos, some action shots of 1936 Steelers quarterback William Shakespeare. That's going to do it for us this week. If you want to give us some feedback, we would certainly appreciate it, mostly if it's positive. You can email us at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com. You can tweet us at noholdsbarredcast, or you can Facebook us at facebook.com/noholdsbarredcast. So, on behalf of the Seven Stages Shakespeare Company, I'm Kevin Condardo.
And I'm Dan Bollier.
Don't draft a kicker until the last round.
And if you draft Tom Brady, handcuff him with Jimmy Garoppolo.
I do.